We've been doing this series off the Lord's Prayer, and the Lord's Prayer being something that I think a lot of Christians, anybody who's been to church, gone through any type of Bible class, typically is familiar if they haven't memorized the Lord's Prayer. In fact, you see on TV channels or movies or programs that if there's ever a crisis, they all kind of go into default of the Lord's Prayer. And I don't think that the Lord really wanted people to memorize and quote the prayer as a prayer so much as to learn what are the truths or principles in that prayer that we can extract for our benefit in our prayer, in our life. Because just saying the prayer doesn't make a difference. Yes, they asked Jesus, teach us how to pray. But if you notice in the King James translation, it says after this manner, after this style, after this pattern. And so there's so much truth, and I encourage you, as I do every week, don't take my word for anything. Challenge everything I say with the Word of God. And the Word of God has layers and depth that when you begin to pursue it with a heart desire, I want to learn, I'm open to learn, I'm hungry to learn. It's amazing how the Holy Spirit can reveal the truths of God's Word that empowers you. Where before they were secrets, but Deuteronomy 29:29 says the secret things belong to the Lord, but the things revealed belong to us. And as you begin to look beyond the surface of just the letters on the page and you begin to say, God, show me and teach me, it's amazing how much truth. And we've saw already in that whole prayer. Do you remember that prayer? Would you like to do that prayer? Let's do it together, can we? One, two, three. Our Father. Amen. You guys did really good. You kind of slacked off in the middle. I noticed that, but I didn't even want to bring that to your attention, but you ended well. Say, I ended well. You know, let me just digress a little bit on that. In the journey of life, we can't have bumps in the road. Jesus said, in life, you'll have trials and tribulations. Be of good cheer. I have overcome. Victory and overcoming is our right. It is within the boundaries of our potential. But you know, we don't always overcome. Because the human side of us, because we're growing. Say, I'm growing, and I'm learning. Yeah, everybody needs to learn and grow in the process. No one starts off and they get saved knowing it all, understanding it all. Even David. Do you remember when David was in the tent with the king, and he was facing Goliath, and he was bold and confident, and he begins to rehearse toward the king and said, listen, king, don't worry about it. I can handle this. And the king's like, you're too young. You're not even trained. You can't handle this. And he goes, let me tell you. Do you remember the story that once when I was watching my father's few sheep, we actually find earlier, watching my father's few sheep, a lion and a bear. Do you remember that story? And he began to rehearse how God delivered him from the lion and the bear. But you also have to keep in context that David's tried and true, proven weapon of warfare wasn't the sword, wasn't the spear. What was it? It was his sling with rocks. And so keeping that in context, when you see that, when David was talking to the king, he said, and oh, king, when I was taking the lamb out of the lion's mouth, it rose up against me. So really what happened is they came, David pursued them, took a rock, slung them, knocked them out, then was beginning to reclaim what belonged to his father. And when he was reclaiming what belonged to his father, the lion rose up and he had to grab it by his whiskers. You don't grab a lion by his whiskers unless he's charging at you. And he catches you surprised. He catches you not prepared or ready or off guard. And so you can see that in the text. And he said, I grabbed it by his whiskers and I had to kill it. And the same God who delivered me from the paw of the lion and paw of the bear will be the same God who delivers me from the hand of this uncircumcised Philistine. And what we can draw from there is that David, even when he killed the lion and the bear, there was a learning process because he thought it was over when he knocked the enemy down. He thought it was over when he was bringing the reward back. He thought it was over, but that same enemy that was intimidating before woke up and rose up, and he had to deal with it again. But what did David learn? David learned that when you go to defeat an enemy, don't knock him out. Make sure he's dead. And he carried that. And he carried that into when he was fighting Goliath, did he not? Because he told the giant, he goes, "This day I will take your head off." Yeah. Why would he say that? Because if he didn't learn from the lion and the bear, he would have said, "This day I'm going to knock you out with this rock." But knocking him out with the rock wasn't good enough. Knocking him down wasn't good enough. Paralyzing him wasn't good enough. Listen to me, church, and there's times in your life a little bit of relief or knocking the enemy back a little bit is not good enough. Don't stop until you have complete victory in your life and you've cut the head off the giant who's tormented you in the past. Don't say, "Oh, I got victory and I'm seeing a little bit, I feel a little bit better, things are looking a little bit." Don't stop. Say, "I won't stop." Talk to me, church. Say, "I won't stop." Come on, get louder. Say, "I won't stop until I have complete victory that belongs to me." Amen. And so we're all learning. We're all growing. In fact, if you're not, I encourage you to be. And that's what meekness is. Meekness is not being passive. Meekness is not being being weak. Meek does not mean weak. Meekness means I am willing, I am open to learn if there's a better way. Yeah. Moses was, the Bible says, was very meek. It was because he was open to learn. In fact, after God did all those miracles through Moses and delivered the people of Israel by the hand of Moses and split the Red Sea by the staff and hand of Moses and killed the Pharaoh, the army of the most powerful nation on the world through Moses. I mean, if anybody had a resume of, "Wow, look what God has done." Yeah. And we all know humanity within us, until we get to heaven and get the humanity thing, the carnality of humanity dealt with. The carnality, humanity of any of us is that if you have that kind of success, if you're not careful, you'll start believing your own press reports. Come on. You'll start believing, "Oh, what they say about you and singing about you is true." You'll start believing what other people are saying. But Moses could have been arrogant. Moses could have been arrogant. He could have been cocky, but he learned from Jethro, his father-in-law, about how to handle the people. And so what we learn from there is in the rhythm of life, we need to keep growing. Say, "I'm growing. I'm learning. I'm better." And so in this context, we've learned our Father which art in heaven, which means let's worship God. Worship him. Take a few seconds, just lift your hand and just worship your Heavenly Father for who he is. Father, we thank you. We worship you. Come on, you do better now. Let's get louder. Father, we worship you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Tell him how good he is. It's not what you're just trying to get from him. It's who he is in your life. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. It's God's kingdom, his rule. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not in temptation. Say, "God can lead me." Say, "God leads." God guides. Didn't Jesus say that in Gospel of John? "I'm the shepherd. I get in front of my sheep. They know my voice, they follow me." But you know, some of the things I've noticed in the church world is how people can get messed up in how to follow God and his leading. And there's different levels the way God leads. There's different progressions. And in the leading of God, what we have to learn is the progression that God wants us to grow into. It's like school. You don't start off learning algebra, you start off learning addition and subtraction. If you try to get ahead of it, you might mess it up. You don't start running, you start crawling. And they found out that even in the crawling phase and in the walking phase and running phase, there's things that are happening in your development, your spine, your posture, your strength, your mobility, your balance. Each thing has something to it. And when we learn to
walk out through the growth of God and not try to jump ahead of God. And number one way that God leads you, number one way, which is the base elementary starting point, and this is not by any means, oh, I've heard that, it's no big deal. This still has to maintain the most important thing. God leads you, number one, by his word. Amen. Say, God leads me. By his word. Anytime God speaks to you and it's not in alignment with the word, push it off to the side. Anytime God speaks to you through somebody and it's not in alignment with his word, let it go. Everything must line up. Jesus said the Holy Spirit will not speak of himself, but he'll remind you of my word. Everything must be lined up with the word of God. The word of God. Jesus said heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not fail. Psalms 119, your word is established forever in heaven. Yeah. Anybody who hears my words and obeys them is as someone who's built their house on the foundation. The word of God. If you will not obey the written word of God, you'll never obey the spoken word of God. Right. Because some of us have come up through the ranks and everybody's got their own style, their own temperament, their own kind of phrasing of how they handle stuff and approach stuff. Some of us, man, we want to get right to the spectacular. We want to go to the extreme quick. We want to start having angels show up and having breakfast with us. Come on, somebody. I know what you're talking about. And when somebody comes to you and says, oh, yeah, Gabriel has, he shows up at my breakfast table every morning, has breakfast. No. It probably doesn't happen that way. And there's some people who talk like that. I'm not saying angels can't visit you. I'm not saying you can't hear the voice of God. Listen to me. I'm saying that people, and there are some people that are just, they're just out there. They're the nuts and the fruits in the bowl. It is what it is. Can God show up as an angel? Yeah, sure. An angel showed up. We see throughout the ministry of Jesus, John 1, when he's talking to Nathaniel, and he said, you're an amazing man of God. Greg Bruce translation. He goes, you don't even know me. I saw you before your brother called you when you're sitting under the tree. You are the rabbi. You are the Messiah. He goes, this is John, last part of John chapter 1. He goes, are you impressed by that? Why don't you follow me? You'll see the windows of heaven open up and angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man. That would be so cool. Peter's in prison and angel shows up. That would be so cool. But you know, and having those type of supernatural experiences is possible. Don't get me wrong. Some people go to extremes. And they'll go to a pendulum extreme and say, nope, that don't happen anymore. It can happen. But it's not happening every day. Right. I had a preacher show up, and he brought another minister with him to the church just a few years ago. And the guy said, oh, yeah, I've been to heaven and walked the streets with Jesus at least 100 times. That's either true or it's not true. Let me say it this way. It is either true, and he knows it. It's either not true and he knows it and he's just lying, or he's crazy and thinks it's true. I don't know. You can't, what do you say when somebody says that? You can't debate it. But I did notice that within the conversation, 30 minutes of talking to the guy, that everything else that he told me was a sleight of hand. And it only took one or two questions following his comments of all that he's doing. I said, you mean, and I would just ask him the question back. Oh, no, not really. Everything was a smoke and mirror perception. It wasn't truth. So he might have sat there and imagined he was in heaven. I don't know. I am not his Jesus. I'm not here to judge him. But I'm telling you that if people come to you and try to manipulate and control you by saying, oh, God has spoken, and this is what happens in the church world, people start saying, oh, that person's a man or woman of God, and I'm not saying they are or not. And that, oh, that person says they heard from God and they have a word from the Lord. God uses people. So I'm not saying that that don't happen. But when they try to direct you and control you, something's wrong. God's never called to send somebody to override your will. If Jesus doesn't override your will, he'll never send somebody else to override your will. No pastor, no evangelist, no prophet, no teacher, no apostle, nobody. Nobody should override your will. I've heard ministers, pastors saying, well, I'm the voice of God, and if you don't do what I said, curse will come upon your life. Folks, are you listening to me? At the end of the day, that's called witchcraft. Do what I say or evil will happen to you is called witchcraft. Jesus doesn't do it. You're not to be manipulated. Around here at Hope Church, we teach you the truth of the word so that you can stand on. My job is not to draw you to me to follow me. My job is to be like John the Baptist who draws you to Jesus. And anything that someone uses to manipulate, we got to keep going back. Does it line up with the word? And if someone says, oh, I got a word from you. Well, if it doesn't line up with the word, let it go. And anytime God, and God does use people, don't misunderstand me. And God, there are prophets in the body of Christ. I am good friends with some that are that I know are genuine, real prophets in the fivefold ministry. And they don't act as, they don't act weird. They don't act weird. They don't force their way. I've shared this before. Years ago, probably about 10 years ago, I had a guy show up and he walked in the building and he said, where's the pastor? I overheard it from a distance and they pointed to me. Now, anytime someone asks you where the pastor is, don't point to me. Come on, help me out. Help a brother out. Don't point to me. Don't point to me. Point to somebody else. I'll give you a list of who. And he came over to me and said, are you the pastor? I said, I am. And he said, hey, he goes, I'm prophet so-and-so. And I woke up this morning and the Lord gave me a word for your church. I just want to see if I can take the platform and give it. And I quickly, and some people have literally given up, pastors have fallen for this and given up their whole church because someone with who had a prophet calling. And listen, even if they're anointed a calling to be a prophet, doesn't mean that they are perfect and can't make mistakes. We have this treasure, the Bible says, in earthen vessels that the glory may be of God and not of men. And he walked up and said, hey, I'm a prophet so-and-so, and God's given me a word for your church, and I just want to have an opportunity to come up on the platform and give it. And I just, and it was the Holy Spirit who gave me the answer quickly, because knee-jerk reaction, I said, well, listen, it's an honor to meet you. I don't know who you are from Adam, and the Holy Spirit didn't tell me you were coming, so you'll never get near my podium and platform, but I'm sure glad to have you. Make yourself at home. I don't know you. The Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that told you can tell me. He didn't tell me, right? And I said, you're not getting on my platform, but I'm glad to have you. You know what he did? He went down the street to the next church. So there's a balance to this. Don't look for voices. Can God speak to you where it almost sounds audible? Yes, I've had the Spirit of God speak to me, and it sounded so clear. I didn't know if it was inside or outside. But you know what? It's not every morning. It's not flippant, and there's a balance. Say, there's a balance. We're going to walk down the middle of the road, not to the extremes. And the way to keep yourself in balance, because if you don't, there are so many good people in the church world that have crashed and burned on the roadside of life because they got messed up in this understanding. If you look for voices, the devil will accommodate. The Bible says that even the devil can appear as an angel of light. Paul says it this way, if anybody, even if it's an angel, comes to you and manifests and teaches you another gospel, consider it evil. Let it go. Don't even follow it. What am I saying? God, number one, he speaks through his word. Speaks through his word. Say his word. I know it's old-fashioned, but the B-I-B-L-E still works for you and me. I had one minister say, oh, well, you know, since we got the Holy Ghost in Acts 2, we don't need the written word. We have revelation beyond that. If your revelation's beyond that, it's outside of it. And if it's outside of it, it's not from God and it won't work. Stay within the foundation of the truth of God's word that he reveals to you. That's why we tell you to read the Bible. Spend time in prayer. It's a relationship, not a religion. Don't look for someone to guide you with all the steps. You get into that word. And don't start with Genesis. If you're a new believer, don't read the Bible starting at the beginning like you would a normal book. Start in the Gospel of John. We jokingly say around here a lot, if you start in Genesis, very shortly you're going to be in the begats. And once you get to the begats, you're going to be gone. There's too many people who have died on the road of begats. And if you don't know what that is, that's all those crazy names. And you thought that your neighbor's kid had a crazy name. You haven't read the begats yet. And you're wondering, OMG, they must not like their children. Stay with the word of God. Say the word of God. Say the Bible. Still works for me. I'm amazed how so many people, we can be super spiritual and we don't need the word of God. No, I need the word. I need the word. I just don't need the word for a message. I learned from my dad. Don't read the Bible looking for messages. Read the Bible to feed your spirit. Read the Bible to feed your spirit the food that it needs. I mean, we don't have to make it rocket science. If you could take anybody who's strong and healthy but starve them for 40 days, you know what? They're going to be weak as a kitten. If we don't eat the word of God in our spirit man will be weak. You know what your spirit, weak spirit man feels like? He feels afraid. He feels timid. He feels that he's not going to make it to heaven. He feels that his prayers won't get answered. He feels like the devil's going to intimidate him. He feels overwhelmed by pressures of the world. That's what your spirit man feels like when he's not been fed or she's not been fed. Psalms 32:8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you, you who are willing to learn with my eye upon you. But we have to be willing, we have to be meek, we have to be willing to obey, willing to learn. David said it this way, search me out, and if there's anything that's not right, show me, because I want to know, teach me how to do your will. Teach me how this thing works. Don't be so arrogant and cocky in your own past that you refuse to learn a revelation of your future. I was watching a Christian television show, and the guy was talking about how to beat any atheist within 2 minutes. I thought, this is interesting. And so he said he was invited to a secular university, and the atheist was the first speaker and had 15 minutes to talk about why God does not exist. And then it was his turn, and they called him up, and he said, I felt like the lamb being led to the slaughter. Because the whole room in Cambridge was just full of atheists, no one in that Ivy League school seemed like believed in God. And so he took the platform, and they introduced him, and he thought what he should do. And he said, wow, to the speaker, he said, man, you're powerful. He goes, he preached it. He goes, you are eloquent. You're so smart. Would you join me back on the platform? And the guy came back, and he goes, man, you are so smart. And he goes, well, thank you. I'm highly educated, and anybody who believes in God is a fool. He goes, okay. And he had a piece of paper, and he drew a big circle on it. You see my big circle? See, I don't have a piece of paper, so you got to use your imagination. You didn't know you have to do all this in church. And he had a big circle, and he said, if this circle represented all the knowledge in the world, of everything, of anything that had knowledge, arts, science, history, religion, music, whatever, everything, all knowledge in that circle, how much of that do you know? And the guy took the magic marker and said, oh, I wouldn't know. And he kind of colored in a percentage of that. He goes, wow, you're smart. He goes, yeah, I'm highly educated. He goes, so you're saying this is how much you know? He goes, yeah. And he goes, and this is how much of all knowledge that's out there that you don't know? And he said, yeah. He goes, so what you're telling me is this is what you know, this is what you don't know. Yeah. He said, could it be possible that the revelation of God is in this area of dimension that you do not have not yet discovered? And he said, okay, I see that could be possible. Therefore, you're no longer an atheist. You're now an agnostic, and you're one step closer to knowing my Jesus. I thought, brilliant. Why? Because pride comes before a fall. Pride doesn't mean you're confident. Pride means that you're so confident in you without God that you're not open to learn. Say, I'm open to learn. So God teaches us, number one, with his word, with the Bible, with instructions. And that's not you just having to have someone call and tell you this is what you got to do. In your own devotional time, the Holy Spirit will reveal the word. And we encourage you, as you're reading, if a verse pops up, becomes alive, stay there. Think about it. Read it throughout the day. Look how you can apply it to your life and walk through that process. Amen. Number two, we find out that God leads us through the inward witness. Say the inward witness. Romans 8:16, this might sound a little different if you just got saved, but stick with me. Romans 8:16 says, the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit himself, bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Once you have the foundation of the Word of God and you're building and growing, and we need the foundation of the Word of God because it can't be just an emotional thing, because emotions can deceive. What your eyes see can deceive you. Remember the gray boxes last week? But the inward witness is when the Holy Spirit confirms with our spirit that we are the children of God. We see in Hebrews 10, I'll just read this real quick, Hebrews 10:15, the Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. Isaiah 55:12 says, for you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. What we're seeing is that this is primarily after the Word of God, the primary way the Holy Spirit will guide you. Some people call it the red light, green light. Have you ever had that happen? You go to walk into a place, you go to make a decision, and something just doesn't settle right with you. Something's just not right. You don't can't put your finger on it, but something's uneasy. Or that you walk in and you have a peace about it. Like that Isaiah 55, you shall be led forth with peace. The Bible says, let the peace of God, amplified, let the peace of God be an umpire, settling with finality all questions that arise in that, in your mind, in that peaceful state. Anything that's disturbing the peace on the inside of you. And I've had to walk through some storms before in my own life where I walked it through and the emotional storm on the outside was still raging, but I had peace on the inside, knowing that the decision I was making, though difficult, was the right decision. Because it doesn't mean that on the outside everybody's going to agree with you. It's that inward peace. Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, it talked about how Mary went to see her cousin Elizabeth, who had already been pregnant for 6 months, and Mary or just had the experience that she's going to be the mother of the Savior. And as she went to greet him, Elizabeth said, "When I heard your greeting, the baby jumped on the inside." That's a physical baby jumping, but I'm telling you, in my own personal experience, it might be a little different for you. That's okay. That when I know the mind of God, sometimes it's out of a conversation, sometimes it's in prayer, and God can speak to you in prayer. But you know, sometimes, church, we will go into a prayer closet saying, "I'm going in and I'm not coming out until I get an answer." I've been there, I've done that. And sometimes God didn't give you an answer in that prayer. And sometimes we make up our own answer in that prayer. I've been there. I'm not leaving until I know, and I'll start praying an hour into it, 2 hours into it. You know, after you get 2 or 3 hours, it's amazing what your imagination can come up with. That must be God, what God is saying. Yep, that's what God is saying. And we will not hear because we weren't waiting. We're not open. You can't make God speak to you. That's like walking into your spouse and saying, "You got 10 minutes. Let's go. 10 minutes. Talk to me. What do you want to know?" It doesn't work that way. But your time in prayer, your time in the Word prepares your spirit to have the Holy Spirit confirmed to you. The Word, the inward witness, 3 out of 4, I'm going to skim through these so fast, so there's no way I can get into depth. The Word, the inward witness, the voice of God. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." Acts says that they were ministering unto the Lord, fasting and praying, and the Holy Spirit said unto them, "Separate unto me Saul and Barnabas, that I can call them into the ministry." God can speak to your spirit like a voice into your heart. But that doesn't mean you look for voices. You stay open for God. You don't wake up and say, "Should I get number 2 or number 3 at this menu?" No, we stay open for God to speak to us. And there's times he can. And there's times that there's great manifestations. But we all start with the Word. Amen? Amen? Amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand. Clap your praise. We're done.